Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Trumos. The fifth perek discusses more details about the halachos of Olin, of Bittel that takes place with Truma, where there's 100 to 1, and therefore it is technically Batel, and we take one out anyway and give it to the Kohen. So there's a lot more detail to that, and the Mishnayos of our perek discusses that, discusses those halachos. So Mishnah Aleph begins, Se'at Truma Temea, Shenafla lefachos v'meachulin. So we have a single se'ah of truma that has become tamei, which means, of course, that it can't be eaten because truma tamea, truma in general is only edible by kohanim, and truma tamea is not edible by anybody. And so we have this non-edible thing that fell into less than 100. So we know already it's not going to be mevata. It's not going to be batel. And the first case is it fell into chulin, all the ma'aser rishon, or it fell into ma'aser rishon, which is mutter for everybody to eat and she's supposed to be given to the Levi. But now, since it's got this truma tamei and it can't be eaten by anybody, all the ma'aser sheni needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim by anybody. But now it has truma intermixed with it and it's truma tamei, which can't be eaten. So now the whole thing can be eaten. Ola hektesh, or it fell into something which was sanctified to the Beis Hamikdash. Here too, the truma tamea that got mixed into it makes it no longer edible, and therefore, bein tamei and bein tahorim, whether the thing that it fell into was already tamei or whether it was tahor and now it has the truma tamea mixed into it, yirkavu, it should be left to rot. Now, why should it be left to rot? Because we're talking about a lot of stuff that's forbidden to eat here. Ordinarily, we hold that truma tamea can be burned by the kohanim, and he could use them for fire, so he can use them for kindling, he could use them for light, and he can get benefit, he get hanah from the burning of it. In this case, we say that he can't, and the reason for that is there's a bunch of it, there's a lot of it, and therefore we are concerned that if he puts it aside within the house to use for kindling, then he'll have what is basically food sitting around the house, and over time, he will forget and accidentally eat some, which is a big, big, big thing. And therefore, we set it aside to rot. Stuff that you put aside in a place where you want it to rot, you don't leave that with your regular food, and you're not going to accidentally eat some of it, because you're hoping that it's rotten. So you put it on the side, maybe in a bag, and stuff it in the back of the garage so that it will rot, or out by the garbage can, so that it will rot. And that's not available to eat, so therefore there's no concern that you might eat it by accident. Im tahora, haisa osa hasa'a. So now, what if we have truma tahora that fell into one of these things? Okay, and we're going to assume, for now, that the thing that it fell into was also tahor. So we have truma tahora that fell into one of these things that we mentioned, right, chulin, ma'aser rishon, ma'aser sheni, or hektesh, that were also tahor. Okay, so if it is chulin, then yimachru lekohanim b'dmei truma chutz mi d'mei oso sa'a. So we know this already. We've discussed it a couple of times. If it fell into chulin, then you sell the whole bunch to a kohen. Since it is only edible to kohanim, it has to be sold at the price of truma, which is lower than the price of chulin. It's simply the question of demand, right? Truma has much lower demand because it can't be eaten by most people, and therefore it's less expensive. So you have to sell it to the Kohen, because he's the only one who can eat it, at the price of truma. You don't have to give it to him, because it's not really his, except for that one sa'ah that really is, because that's truma. So you have to sell the entire batch to the Kohen at the price of truma, less the value of that single sa'ah that is really truma that's mixed in there already. The imla ma'aser rishon nafla. What if it fell into ma'aser rishon? So we know that ma'aser rishon is supposed to be given to the Levi. But if this ma'aser rishon is given to the Levi, he can't eat it, right? Because it has a sa'ah of truma mixed into it. So you give it to the Levi. And what does the Levi do with it? Yikra shem l'trumas ma'aser. So the Levi should use it to be mafrish trumas ma'aser for any other ma'aser that he gets. So he'll put it aside in a marked area as truma and future truma, right? And every time he gets ma'aser rishon, he will take the truma's ma'aser for that ma'aser from this mixed batch. And slowly, a higher and higher and higher percentage of the mixed batch will become actual truma, either the original truma that fell in, or Trumas Meiser, which is the same as regular Truma. And once the whole thing is Truma, then he will give the whole thing to the Kohen. So, as an example, if one Se'ah fell in to, let's call it, 10 other Se'in. So now it's not going to be Batel, of course, because it's not 100 to 1, it's only 10 to 1. So now you give the Levi 11 Se'in. And this 11 Se'in, one of them is already Truma. So he can now take Trumas Meiser on an additional 100 Se'in, right, from the remaining 10 Se'in that are in this mixed batch, and then give the whole thing to the Kohen. Ve'im Meiser Sheni Ola Hekdesh Nafla, if it fell into either Meiser Sheni or Hekdesh. So Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh are different from one another. Meiser Sheni needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim by anybody, and Hekdesh belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But they are the same in one important halacha. They can both be redeemed. That is to say, you can use money to buy them from Hekdesh. The Kedusha transfers to the money, and then they are chulin. So in that case, that's what you should do here. Harei elu yipadu. So you should redeem them onto money. Then you have the money that is Meiser Sheni, and you could take Yerushalayim and use it to buy food. Or the money that is Hekdesh, and you can bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And you have food that is chulin, but intermixed with truma. So now we revert to kind of the halach we mentioned earlier, where you basically take this entire pile, and after having redeemed out the Meiser Sheni or the Hekdesh, you take the pile that is now chulin and truma mixed in, and give it to the Kohen, sell it to the Kohen for the price of truma, less the price of the single Se'ah of truma that's mixed into it. The third section of the Mishnah talks about the possibility of the chulin being temeim. Right, v'im tmeim hayu also machulin. So what do you do if you have truma tahora that falls into chulin tmeim? Now we're talking here about a case of dry fruits. Let's use grain as an example. Dry grain that has not yet gotten wet, and therefore it is not hukshar l'kabel tuma. So even though we have now tame and tahor mixed together, the tuma isn't going to transfer because they weren't their foods and they weren't hukshar. So therefore, the Mishnah gives us a solution. What do you do with this meduma? Now, obviously, you have to sell it to the Kohen, as we said before, because you have truma mixed into chulin, so it has to be sold to the Kohen. But what can the Kohen do with it? If he tries to knead it into a dough, then everything gets wet, everything becomes mekabel tuma, and then the chulin tmeim make the truma tahora also tameh, and now everything is meduma tmeya, which can't be eaten. So what do we do? So the Mishnah offers four possible solutions. Number one, ye'achlu nekudim, it should be eaten dry. Right, just eat it dry. This is harder to kind of envision with wheat because people don't eat raw wheat dry. But certainly there's other produce that you could eat dry from the ground. And thereby, by doing so, you are eating this meduma. The Kohen is eating this meduma, some of which is truma, some of which is chulin, but the chulin tmeim aren't going to be metame the truma tahora, because you're eating them separately, you're eating one at a time. The second possibility is okloyos, you could eat them roasted. So if you, again, same thing really as the first one, except that you're cooking them, but you're cooking them without any water, and therefore there's still no heksher, and the truma cannot become tameh from the chulin, and therefore you can roast the grains, for example, and then eat the grains individually, and so there's no opportunity for the truma tahora to become tameh. Choice number three, ye lo shebimei peros. You can make a dough out of it, but you don't mix it with water. You mix it with fruit juice, because fruit juice is not one of the seven mashkim, not one of the seven liquids that can make something hokshar. The seven mashkim are water, dew, milk, blood, oil, wine, and honey. And so since apple juice is none of those, it is not makshir. And so if you would knead a dough without using any of the seven mashkim, rather using a fruit juice that is not olives, because that would be oil, and not wine, because that would be, and not grapes, because that would be wine, but some other fruit juice, then it is not machshir, and you have a dough that could potentially, therefore, have kulin tameim in it, as well as truma tahora, and you wouldn't have to worry about that, being matame one another. Or, finally, possibility number four, oh, yischalku le'isos kedei shel yehi b'makom echad kebeitza. You can take this entire pile of grain and split it up among many batches of dough, such that no single batch of dough has within it a kebeitza, an egg sized of the original grain from this pile. Why is that important? Because something that is tame, food that is tame, can only transfer tumah out if it is of an egg sized. And so therefore, if we have less than an egg of this grain or produce, even if I somehow manage to get all of chulin tmeim and one little grain of truma tahora, since it's less than an egg, it can't be metame. It can't be metame anything. And the tumah will remain self-contained within that those grains. And therefore it can't spread, and therefore we don't have to worry about the truma becoming tameh.